Welcome to Becoming Secure in Love, from Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, with me, Love Coach Mariah. On this show, you'll receive tools for relational health that you can apply wherever you are on your journey in love. You'll learn how to anchor your security within you so you can co-create balanced, interdependent relationships that fill your cup. Let's get the love flowing. Becoming Secure in Love starts now. Hello, I'm Love Coach Mariah, and you're listening to Becoming Secure in Love on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Stick with me for the next hour for a healthy dose of heart-blowing awareness expansion. In every episode, we examine the challenges that love can present and explore the various ways to shift from push and pull to peace of mind. The topic of this episode is boundaries, a point of conflict or a point of connection. Buckle in, because I'm about to cover a lot of ground. I would like to delve deeper on so many of these subtopics I'm about to address, but my goal for today is to provide a high-level lay of the land. Real quick, though, for those of you listening live, happy full buck supermoon. All right, then let's get into it. Despite common assumptions, functional boundaries are not actually walls to shut people out. They are gifts that help people know how to love and connect with each other. When honored consistently and mutually, they create safety and trust. For those of you who are well-versed in boundaries, you might be thinking, yep, And for those of you who maybe not so much, you might be thinking, I'm sorry, what? And the reason for the misconception is that our modern culture has very much normalized codependency, and we've even romanticized enmeshment. A prime example is, oh, it's so beautiful. I can't tell where I end and you begin. And that's called enmeshment, and it's not functional for sustainable relationships. And there's another sort of common dynamic in our culture that Mr. Karpman defined as the drama triangle. And there are three positions or roles that we can take on this triangle. I also like to call it the victim wheel. And I want to clarify that there's a difference between being an actual victim in a situation and having a victim mentality. One is a fact, one is a mindset. So the first role in the drama triangle, or the victim wheel, or I also sometimes like to call it the blame game, the first role is victim. And the victim believes that they are powerless, that they have no control over their lives, that everything is just happening to them, and that they need help because they can't do anything for themselves. They're not responsible for themselves. They don't know how to handle themselves or their lives. And the next role is called the savior or the rescuer. And this person likes to sweep in and help the victim. Like, oh my goodness, of course you can't help yourself, you poor thing, let me come and help you. And a common thread, and I'll get to the third role in a moment, but a common thread on this wheel is what I call misplaced responsibility. The idea that no one is responsible for their lives or capable of handling their lives. And so the victim believes that, and the savior believes that too. Oh, of course you can't handle it. And what happens though is then the savior comes in, and in their efforts to help the victim, they actually just enable their, delusion of disempowerment. And it ends up, it's subconscious, but the savior ends up in helping the victim. It's a self-serving act, because then it keeps the victim dependent on them. And then they continue to be needed, and that gives them purpose. And that's codependency. Now, the savior also believes, again, with misplaced responsibility, that, you know, they also can't handle their own life. So when they need help, if someone won't help them, then they'll probably shift into the next role, which is called persecutor. And the persecutor is always finding someone to blame. It's your fault that you did this to me, or you made me feel this way. You're not rescuing me like you're supposed to. And so I'm stuck and that's your fault. Fortunately, there is an alternative to this. Now, the reason I call it a victim wheel is because we can shift these roles at any time. Most people kind of have a default role that they fall into, but in any dynamic, even in an instant, in an interaction, we can kind of rotate between those roles. The alternative, another wise person called the empowerment dynamic. And the opportunity here is to shift each of those roles into an empowered role. And therefore, the victim becomes the creator. Instead of feeling powerless, focusing on problems, and believing I can't, the creator can become a problem solver and believe I can. The rescuer, instead of believing that the victim can't, instead of coming in and helping to feel needed, instead of enabling those delusions of disempowerment. Also, a lot of what the savior is doing is fawning, people-pleasing. This role can shift into the role of a coach. Believing that the person can, you come in and you encourage them. So instead of, oh my gosh, you poor thing, you're dealing with this, you know, horrible thing, and you must need help because obviously you can't do it. So let me come in and do it for you. The alternative is, oh my goodness, this is like a terrible situation, but I know that you can handle it. So what are you going to do about it? You know, what are you going to do, and how can I support you? A very different approach. Now, for the persecutor, oftentimes the persecutor is motivated by anger, and the notion is you made me feel bad. And in many cases, maybe the person that they're mad at did do something wrong. But what the persecutor can do is shift to the role of challenger. And instead of blaming, they can shift to shared responsibility and say, okay, I see my role in this situation is this. And instead of attacking, they can have some grounded accountability, like holding the other person accountable still. And so it might look like, all right, I see my role in the situation is this. And I see your role in the situation is this. And this is how you impacted me. This is how your behavior or your choices have impacted me. And then instead of responding with criticism, you know, what's wrong with you, or you're a horrible person, they can offer constructive feedback. This is my role. This is how I see your role. This is how it impacted me. And maybe if you choose to, you know, respond this way in the future, like it might have a different result. So again, the persecutor can become the challenger. But again, in the empowerment dynamic, we're shifting from misplaced responsibility, where no one is responsible for themselves and everybody else is responsible for everybody else. We shift to personal responsibility. I'm responsible for me and my life and my emotional experiences, and you're responsible for you and your life and your emotional experiences, and I'm just here to support you. So you can maybe see how some people have a harder time with boundaries, because from that perspective of an enmeshment, boundaries can feel really mean. Like if we're supposed to be one, boundaries individuate. So it's almost violent. And so then we don't want to say no, because like that might hurt your feelings, and I'm responsible for your feelings. So I can't say no. And if you say no to me, like, God, that really hurts. And that's your fault for hurting. Why would you hurt me? And it can be very problematic. So, you know, we think it's mean to say no, but instead what we do is we lie and manipulate. So we say yes when we mean no. So that's being deceitful. And the reason we're doing that is to manage the other person's emotions. And so it's kind of manipulative. And then when we're really a no, but we said yes, what we do is we end up overgiving, and then we become resentful, and then we get mad at the other person because now they're making us feel bad and it's their fault. And so then we get angry at them. So that's actually mean. But if you just say no, that's not really mean. That's just honoring your boundaries. So what we avoid being mean by being meaner. And oftentimes what I hear is people say, oh, they took from me, they took advantage of me, they used me, they don't appreciate the lengths I go to for them. And all of that I hear is, where were your boundaries? Resentment is almost always a result. Well, it's always a result of trampled boundaries, and in rare cases of, you know, like violation or oppression, usually it's our failure to uphold our own boundaries when we're feeling resentment. So when we shift to personal responsibility, we see boundaries are actually loving gifts. But what else are they? What even are yours? What do they sound like? What do they feel like? I'm going to share my comprehensive definition with you after a short break. You're listening to Becoming Secure in Love, From Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, with me, Love Coach Mariah. We've been exploring personal responsibility as it pertains to boundaries. And when we come back, we'll look at how boundaries function. Do you know how to communicate your boundaries without getting into a fight? Stay tuned.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to Be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to Be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, couragetobeseen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling, is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Are you ready to branch out, to take a leap of faith, to love yourself and others fully? Join Erica Gifford Mills in her signature series, The Rooted Life. This virtual 12-week series will equip, empower, and enlighten you. This is a coaching series that allows both group and individual work. 12 weekly, 1-hour sessions in the comfort of your own home. Schedule your free Empower Hour now at GetRootedRadio.com. That is GetRootedRadio.com.
Welcome to the Spacious Unknowing Network, Sunshine for Your Soul,
with Julie O
and JoJo Rose,
every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let your heart beat in the rhythm of your soul and guide you to new horizons and unlimited, infinite love.
Welcome back to Becoming Secure in Love, from Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, with me, Love Coach Mariah. You can find me at Love Coach Mariah, that's M-A-R-I-Y-A.com. And women looking for community around this stuff are welcome to join my free Facebook group called Empowered Compassion. Before the break, we were discussing personal responsibility around boundaries, and we were just about to get into how boundaries function. Do you know how to communicate your boundaries without getting into a fight? Well, let's start with what boundaries are not. Functional boundaries are not weapons of disconnection. They're not barriers to connection. They're not preferences. They're not demands. They're not even requests. And this is because they're not needs. Needs are important. They're very valid, important things, and they're different. Boundaries don't require anything from anyone. They're essentially your resource limits. And they're your responsibility to manage. So we all have finite resources of time, energy, money, attention, and we're the only ones that can manage these. We're the only ones that can communicate them to other people. And fawners, people pleasers, saviors, rescuers, all tend to really struggle with limits. We have dysfunctional boundaries that look like flimsy fences. And it's because we want to give, we want to show up for everybody. We take too much responsibility for other people's feelings, and we don't want to hurt their feelings. We don't want to say no. We want to bend over backwards for everybody. And I think another big reason that people tend to have a hard time with limits these days, especially, is because of the notion of abundance and this idea that we're supposed to have an abundance mindset and not a scarcity mindset. And just like the difference between being a victim and having a victim mindset, there's a difference between actual scarcity and a scarcity mindset. A scarcity mindset will limit your possibilities in life, but there is real scarcity in life also. Like, time is the best example of a limited resource. We have a finite amount of time. We have 24 hours in every day. So that's a resource that is limited that we have to manage. We also only have so much energy in a day. We only have so much money. You might be able to make all the money in the world, but like right now you have a fixed amount of money in this moment. So the realities of our limits are there. And something that kind of helped me lean into that is, you know, the notion that gold and diamonds are precious because they're limited. And so just because our resources are limited, that makes them precious, and it calls upon us to honor them and, manage them with care. It's also sort of like, the oxygen mask concept. We want to give our love and our resources to those that we love, but if we're under-resourced, we're no good to anybody. So we have to make sure that we're honoring our limits and taking care of ourselves so that we can show up for the people we care about and the things that we care about. And this is why functional boundaries are loving. Now, fighters, people that have the fight response, who also fall into the persecutor's role a lot, they tend to deploy walls. So we've got flimsy fences and spiked walls as dysfunctional boundaries. And I prefer to think of it in terms of functional and dysfunctional, because healthy and unhealthy has kind of negative connotations. And the thing about dysfunctional boundaries is they come from survival mode. They're not necessarily, bad. They're just not quite as functional for a sustainable relationship. So healing and awareness is what can get us out of survival mode. and into more functional boundaries. So here's my comprehensive definition. Functional boundaries are the expressed and honored acceptance of our naturally limited and precious resources. They are communicated with ownership so that others may know how to be successful in relationship with us. And they are consistently upheld for the sake of our well-being and the health of our relationships. Just as children thrive with structure, relationships thrive with boundaries. And they foster a sense of security in relationship as well. A few years ago, I was involved in something called authentic relating, or AR. And there's a community here where I live that practices authentic relating. And what I encountered with them was probably my first experience of functional boundaries. And it was definitely, it opened my mind to so many new possibilities. One of the first things that I experienced was receiving a no without disconnection. And what that looks like is, you know, hey, do you want to do this thing? No. And they stay with me. They might stay in silence and allow me to pick it up and say something else, or maybe they'll offer something else that they're willing to do, but it's a no to the thing, not a no to me. I didn't take it personal. I knew it wasn't personal. It was like, wow, look at that. They just said no. And my feelings didn't get hurt. And then I realized that I could say no to them because they were fluent in boundaries. And I knew that I wouldn't have to worry about their feelings getting hurt because I knew they wouldn't take it personal. I knew that I didn't need to explain myself if I didn't want to, and that if I did want to, and if they were available, they would hold the most loving space for me to, you know, explore like what came up for me. And then like another revelation from that was that I could also trust their yeses. If I knew that they were comfortable saying no, I knew that they were sincere about a yes. So there was no urge to say, oh, are you sure? I mean, you don't have to. Do you really want to? Which we often do because we're so used to people saying yes when they mean no and then later resenting us. So I didn't have to fear that their yes was insincere and that it might result in resentment. And then what that meant is that I could like fully enjoy their presence in the thing that they said yes to, because I knew that they were fully enrolled in it, that they wanted to be there. And it was just such an amazing, heart-opening experience that boundaries and relationships could be like that. And I was like, wow, I want to provide that level of safety and trust for my loved ones. And it also really shone a light on, how I wasn't doing that with my current model of basically flimsy fences. So that was very eye-opening, and I hope that opened a few of your eyes as well. So in addition to boundaries sounding like a simple no, or maybe even a no thank you, or even maybe a I'm sorry, I can't do that. A more complex version of a boundary is a little formula that I have. When X happens, I feel Y. And so to care for myself, I will do Z. For example, when I receive harsh criticism, I feel shame. And so to care for myself, I will remove myself from the situation. And so what I'm doing there is explaining how, and I'm owning it. I'm saying, this is what happens for me. This is how I respond, how I react. Like what happens inside me when I encounter this thing. And I'm also explaining the consequences, not just in my reaction, but what I will do to follow through and to care for myself. And now that consistently upheld, that is the next piece. So what that means is if I say I'm going to remove myself from a situation where I'm receiving harsh criticism, part of loving myself and part of creating that trust and safety through consistency is following through on what I say I'm going to do in certain situations to honor my boundaries. And that can be really difficult. But I'm going to get into that more. I did want to share a quick story about my mom and my sister. So my sister has been taking care of my mom lately, and she was taking her on some doctor visits. And my sister has other priorities in her life too, other things that she cares about. And the errands ended up taking longer than planned, quite a bit longer. And my mom was preparing for a surgery involving her digestive tract. And so after everything was said and done, she asked my sister if they could stop and get French fries. My sister was exasperated. She was way behind schedule, really just wanted to get home and back to her farm and the other priorities. And she said no, but then my mom really wanted the French fries because she's not going to be able to eat solid food for a while. And so my sister caved. And when she was relaying to me that story, I told her that, you know, you often get really resentful because you're not honoring your boundaries. And my sister thought, you know, she found it interesting because she considers herself very reliable. When she says she's going to do something, she does it. She believes her word is bond. And I said, yes, on the big things, that's true. But there's a million little things every day that you let slide. And she said, well, if I had said no and stuck to my no, we still would have had a fight. And I said, yes, it's true. But what you would have gained is, you know, every time you uphold a boundary, you lay a brick in the foundation of the relationship that creates trust. And that was like a really eye-opening thing for her. And that's when she was like, wow, I considered myself so trustworthy and consistent, but I realized that I'm not sticking to my word every time I cave on a boundary. And explaining to her how it actually creates a foundation for love and trust and safety and consistency is a much more loving thing to do. So really, boundaries are how we meet our needs for self-care and contribute to the well-being of the relationship. So I'm going to dive into self-care after a short break. You're listening to Becoming Secure in Love, from Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, with me, Love Coach Mariah. And we've been learning about how boundaries function. And when we come back, we'll discuss how they support self-care. Is your self-care more treat yourself or more reparent yourself? Stay tuned.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle, yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
Courtney Cottrell is walking in her purpose, creating incredible tools to level up your life. Let's introduce you to the Unapologetically Favored Gift Shop, your one-stop shop for all Courtney's motivational books, custom created, inspirational gifts, and more. Products that remind you of your purpose on this planet, infused with the passion to uplift lives. Shop apparel, books, wall art, and more at shopfavored.net.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to corneliastephanie.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Welcome back to Becoming Secure in Love, from Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, with me, Love Coach Mariah, and my dog, if you can hear her. You can find me at lovecoach, M-A-R-I-Y-A.com. And women looking for support on their journeys of becoming secure in love are welcome to reach out for a free introductory coaching call. Before the break, we were discussing how boundaries function, and we were just about to get into how they support self-care. Is your self-care more treat yourself or more reparent yourself? So there's sort of two kinds of self-care. One of them I call compensatory, and one of them can be considered nourishing. Compensatory self-care is when you live in a perpetual state of boundary violation, and then you compensate for it with chocolate cake. Oh, I'm just beat. I've done all the things for all the people, and damn it, I'm going to have a piece of cake because I deserve it. And yes, you do. We all deserve chocolate cake. But a more nourishing form of self-care looks like reparenting. And sometimes that's giving yourself a piece of cake. Sometimes it's making yourself a healthy meal. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with reparenting or the term, it comes from this idea that when we were children, perhaps our parents, in their perfectly human imperfection, missed a few things, and we ended up with some faulty coping mechanisms or maybe some trauma wounds. And when we grow up, our child self stays with us, and we call this our inner child. But now we're grown up, we're the adults, and now we get to carry on the parenting of our inner child, except we get to do it differently. We get to redo the parenting. So we get to reparent our inner child and show up for her in all of the ways that our parents didn't, that we needed them to. And the reason I'm bringing this up in the context of boundaries is because sometimes what reparenting looks like is boundaries with ourselves. So we need to have boundaries with other people to maintain our well-being and the health of the relationship. And we also need to have boundaries with ourselves. So having boundaries around time for someone, with someone else, you know, might look like declining an invitation. Having boundaries with ourselves around time might look like saying no to our inner child who wants to watch just one more episode on the Netflix, please. And you might have to say, hey, I hear you. It's been really fun. We've watched a few episodes, and I've been really enjoying this relaxing time. And it's time to go to bed now so that we get enough sleep and we're resourced for tomorrow. Other boundaries we often have to honor with ourselves is, in addition to time, there's money. saying no to our inner child who wants to indulge in a shopping spree that we can't really afford, maybe around food or nutrition, making sure that we eat or don't eat too much or eat healthy food. Also moderating our escapism. Like, I think a little bit is good. I certainly indulge in that myself, but, you know, maybe watching it not be too excessive, and some escapism might be things like Facebook, TV, Netflix, games, things like that. So these are some great ways that we can practice boundaries with ourselves. And something that can be really helpful to tap into is like a maternal love. Whether you have kids or not, I don't. I have children I care about. I'm a dog mom, and I have my own inner child. And there have been instances in my life that, like, my mama bear for my inner child, like, kicked in, and I didn't even fully recognize it until after the fact. But sometimes, especially because of different aspects of our wounding, it might be hard for us to show up for ourselves. But when we recognize the, you know, the precious innocence of our inner child, we can show up for her, and we can hold boundaries for her with other people or with ourselves. So sometimes there's a little bit of tough love. Sometimes there's a little bit of protective love. All of those things can be helpful with reparenting and healthy boundaries with ourselves and with others. And another piece of this that I'm filing under reparenting that can lay a foundation in our healing to help us have more functional boundaries is shadow work. That's a whole other subject in and of itself, but I'll just do a highlights reel. Basically, the shadow is, for those of you who don't already know, the shadow is essentially your unconscious. And it's stuff that's hidden from you, but not necessarily others, kind of like the back of your head. And a lot of what gets put into our shadow are pieces of ourselves that we're maybe embarrassed about, things that we have shamed and shunned, and thereby we've rejected or abandoned them, and they get dumped into our shadow. We try and pretend that they're not there. And part of shadow work is basically going down into your mental basement and getting that box from behind the stairs and bringing it upstairs into the light and, you know, dusting each of those pieces off and reframing it from maybe, oh, I'm so boring, to, wow, you know, I'm actually just really grounded and tranquil. And maybe some people like people who are more active or playful, and, there are also people who really appreciate the fact that I'm really grounded and tranquil. And then you take that and you love it back into yourself. This type of work helps rebuild our self-love and our sense of self-worth. And it's also kind of related to reparenting, because it, like, tapping into that maternal love again, or that parental love, can really help us reframe those shards of ourselves that we've rejected. So, pardon me. With the strengthened sense of self-worth, we're we have a little bit more inner strength to say no when it's hard, when we're afraid of being rejected by someone else. We know that we have accepted ourselves. Now, sort of last piece here is embodiment. And it's a tool that is necessary really for all healing and inner work. And again, for those who don't know, it's embodiment is shifting your awareness from your mind down into your body. If you're brand new to that concept, you might have no idea what I'm talking about. But if you can pay attention to where your bum meets your seat, or maybe where your feet meet the floor, and see if there's any like tingling there, or if you can feel the pressure there, you just did it. You just put your awareness in your body. So that's kind of like the basic of it. But an embodiment practice helps us reconnect with our bodies. The more time that we spend in our bodies, the more we strengthen that connection. In today's culture, like, we're really disconnected from our bodies, and it's pretty detrimental. But fortunately, we can have an embodiment practice and reconnect with our body. And for another angle on embodiment and the reason that it can be beneficial, it helps us feel into our limits. Because it's, our limits are there, but they're kind of hard to put your finger on. And yet they're not purely mental abstractions. Your body can feel them though. And, for another angle on embodiment, if you consider emotions as a combination of thoughts in your mind and the feelings in your body, then we can say, like, the emotion of sadness is often accompanied with like some heaviness in your heart, or maybe like a tightness in your solar plexus. Whereas for me, the feeling of love or joy sort of feels like champagne in my veins. So those are feelings, and emotions are often, you know, this combination, and they're usually fed by like a story in our mind. And we have these thoughts, and our brain literally dumps chemicals into our body. And then we have this physical reaction. And what we can do with an embodiment practice is learn to like be with the feelings. If we let go of the story in our mind and be in our body with the feeling itself, maybe your body wants to just sob. Do it. Cry. You'll cry if you're letting go of this. If you're not attached to the story and you're just with your body, you'll sob for like 60, maybe 30 to 90 seconds, and it'll flush out of your system. It's amazing. But learning to be with discomfort is also really helpful, because it helps us brave the fear of rejection. We fear saying no because we're afraid of rejection. And having an internally rooted security that comes through all of those things with reparenting helps us, you know, shift our validation of our worth from an external source to within. It can be really helpful to have an idea validated by a peer, but your self-worth needs to be validated by yourself. And then you have the strength to know that if you say no to someone and they reject you, you still will stay with you, right? I'm not going to abandon you, dear little one. So that's what all of that can do, and how we can utilize our boundaries to support our self-care, and how we can use reparenting to make self-care more functional. But now the next question is, what about when someone else's boundary feels mean? So we'll pick that up after another short break. You're listening to Becoming Secure in Love, from Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, with me, Love Coach Mariah. We've been exploring reparenting and how boundaries support self-care. And when we come back, we'll take a look at respecting other people's boundaries. How well do you receive a no? Stay tuned.
Feeling stuck? Journey into a new exciting reality today. Join Coach Christine Clark as she helps you forge the life you desire. Through processes that shape, hone, refine, elasticize, and transform you, go beyond the curve and call in your unique destiny. Tune into the show, Forging a Life, live every fourth Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Christine, visit SunglowTransformation.com.
Patricia McNair, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia, and I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that our whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Ally Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and make your appointment today.
Welcome back to Becoming Secure in Love, from Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, with me, Love Coach Mariah. You can find me at lovecoachmariya.com. And women looking for support in their daily practice of strengthening awareness and self-mastery are welcome to book a call with me to apply for the virtual ashram I facilitate called Peaceful Power Practice. Before the break, we were discussing reparenting and how boundaries support self-care. And we were just about to get into respecting other people's boundaries. How well do you receive a no? When someone says no to you, do you try to twist their arm? Do you beg or pout or try to bargain with them? Do you get offended and criticize them? Do you feel deeply hurt and withdraw in silence? From the framework of enmeshment, boundaries can feel mean. As I stated before, it's like we're one and you want to individuate us with these boundaries and ow. Honestly, though, also sometimes the boundaries aren't delivered very well. And usually the reason for this is essentially deflected guilt. And that's based in that misplaced responsibility. So what it looks like is, you ask me, you ask me if I can do something and it's outside of my limits, but I'm afraid you'll be hurt. And then if you're hurt, then it's my fault, but my nervous system can't handle the guilt. And now I'm actually mad at you for putting me in the position to have to hurt you. And it's all your fault. So F you, no, how dare you even ask me? Sound familiar? Maybe you've received that, or maybe you've delivered that. And now receiving that, now you're definitely hurt. And I could have just said, I'm really sorry, but I can't. Like, what? Can it be that easy? Yes, it can. But again, when we're wired for enmeshment, these types of silly, irrational, logic, and it'll happen in a split second too. Like most of that little sequence that I just spelled out, like that's not usually conscious. It goes from the request to the deflection. And unfortunately what that does is like perpetuates the idea that it's not safe to say no, because someone will get mad and it'll turn into a conflict. And it just, that victim wheel, another reason I call it the victim wheel is it's very much like a merry-go-round. It's like hard to get off of. Again, you just got to shift to personal responsibility. Now, even with like a grounded delivery from enmeshment, we can still sometimes blame the other person for our hurt. But again, from personal responsibility, we can shift. When we feel the hurt, it's like, I mean, it can be painful to hear a no. If there's something that you want, and especially if you have to get kind of vulnerable to ask for it, and the other person isn't available, even if they deliver their no with the, you know, the kindest empathy, like you can still end up feeling, you know, disappointed. But from personal responsibility instead of enmeshment, you can receive their no with like a framework of mutual respect. And when you have that awareness of boundaries as self-care and relational care, then we can actually receive the boundary with appreciation. Even if we're a little bit disappointed, we might say, wow, thank you for being honest and for managing your resources, because that means you're going to be able to, you know, show up in this relationship resourced. And I'm disappointed that you're a no to this, but I appreciate that I can trust you to mean a no and to mean a yes, and that I can trust you to manage your resources so that you can stay resourced and show up resourced in this relationship. It's an entirely different lens on receiving the no. Another sort of philosophy I have, like a perspective I have, is that boundaries are for behaviors, not people. And this can help us feel less rejected when we receive a no. It's not about us. It's the request or the behavior. And really, it's about them and their limits. And it can also help us stay connected in delivery, in delivering a no or a boundary. And, you know, we can say, no, I'm not available for that, but I am available for this. And, you know, maybe someone says, I know you've got a lot going on right now, but I need to move and I didn't plan ahead and I don't have anybody to help me. Can you please help me move? And you might really not be resourced to do that. And you can say something like, you know, I'm not available to help you move, like right now, today, at this last minute that you're asking me. But what I can do is help you find some other resources. I know somebody with a truck. I have some friends that were planning on going to a CrossFit gym today. Maybe I could convince them to help you move instead. You know, like you can kind of come up with some alternative strategies for still being supportive and helpful, but without overextending or overgiving and then resenting and going down that path. So I like to say that love is unconditional, but relationships are not. And that's what boundaries are for. My sort of motto, mission in life these days is what I call empowered compassion. And boundaries are pretty much synonymous with empowered compassion. And also in that sort of umbrella is, you know, empathy, mutual well-being, things that are beneficial to both of us simultaneously, synergy. Non-judgment is really a huge factor in empowered compassion, and personal responsibility, things like that. So as our time together wraps up, I do want to thank you for sharing this time with me. And before I go into my sign off, I do want to invite you to consider this question in the moment or as you go about your daily life. What is one way you could empower your compassion? Every day, any moment, however you can, wherever you can find a way to respect and appreciate the compassion that you have and turn it all the way up. See how being honest about your boundaries is compassionate to both you and your counterpart. Well, as a reminder, I can be found at lovecoachmariah, spelled M-A-R-I-Y-A.com. I lead a free online community for women navigating the challenges of insecure relationships in the Facebook group Empowered Compassion. I also facilitate a virtual ashram for women working diligently to build the foundations of an authentically aligned life and a balanced interdependent relationship. That's called Peaceful Power Practice, and you can ask me about enrollment. And my standing offer for one-on-one coaching for women seeking guidance and tools for relational health. That first call is always on me. Reach out anytime via Facebook, my website, or email me at connect@lovecoachmariah.com. And with that, my friends, I bring this exploration to a close. I hope you'll join me again. On the next episode, I'll be unpacking needs. They're natural. How do we get them met? I'm looking forward to unpacking these relational tools with you. I'm Love Coach Mariah, and you are loved.
Thank you for listening to Becoming Secure in Love, from Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, with me, Love Coach Mariah. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com for an ample set of practical tools that will help you develop internally rooted security, the foundation of a balanced interdependent relationship. You'll also learn how to empower your compassion, which will alchemize the soul and transform any relationship. Learn more at LoveCoachMariah.com. That's LoveCoach, M-A-R-I-Y-A.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.